Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. One day we will get out of 1 Peter. Is the ice machine fixed, Ronnie? We didn't get very far recently in this.
Pick on people.
What?
You always stop to pick on people.
Pick on who?
People.
Who? Which people?
Your faithful followers.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I've really got faithful followers. We talked a great deal about what I have in verse 16, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good manner of life in Christ. For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. And we spent a lot of time on that last time. So now in verse 18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Now, quickened doesn't mean made fast. It means made alive. Now, Christ has once suffered for sins. It is an insult to God to not forgive yourself, and yet not forgiving yourself is probably the largest, most common plague in Christianity. And it has got to stop. You were chosen by God. All your works were wrought in Him. He has been Lord of your life. He didn't become Lord of your life because you decided to accept Him as your personal Savior. He has been Lord of your life from before your mother's womb. You have gone through exactly what you've gone through. You've met the people that you've met. You've been disappointed in the ways you've been disappointed. Everything that has happened to you has happened by the design of God. And it is an abject insult to God to feel guilt. Oh, it's so wonderful in the church. It's so wonderful to satisfy other people, to feel guilt. And it's so wonderful to satisfy the Antichrist. You think that you're really, really doing something wonderful by feeling guilty. But you're a blithering idiot because you're insulting God. You're saying that His sacrifice wasn't enough. And for those of you that dwell on guilt and if-onlys and what-ifs, it's time to put it away forever. He hath suffered once. Doesn't say you have to suffer. He has already suffered. And yet you live in the if-onlys and what-ifs. Oh, what if that hadn't happened? Or what if I hadn't done this? Or what if I hadn't done that? And the minute you do that, His sacrifice is meaningless to you. But it sounds so righteous to think like that. Anybody have any response?
Yeah, there's no abandonment in suffering. I mean, in guilt. There's wallowing in self worse than ever.
This is the dog wallowing in his own vomit.
And yet the self feels kind of righteous for going through guilt because it's supposed to.
It's his silver idolatry. It's his own redemption.
Yeah.
Well, I always thought feeling guilt was like reconnecting back to God.
Where'd you get that?
I don't know.
Really, feeling guilt is fine for like an instant until you abandon yourself.
I didn't know that.
You don't now?
Yeah.
I figured you might. Anybody else?
Well, that's an interesting comment, though, because there can be that moment of connection, but about that much time, if that's the way you want to think about it, and then you repent of it, and you're connected.
If Christ had not done what he did, and if he wasn't right here, right now, then you might need, you know, to go do something, or you'd have to do everything.
Right.
You'd have to do, you know, 10 million things.
All right. For Christ also suffered once. Hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in this flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. The spirits in prison are the spirits that are dead. Remember, all men die at exactly the same time. And in the economy of God, he had to have his justice maintained. And so it is not our business to make sure that everybody in the universe hears the gospel. The gospel has already been preached to every creature which is under heaven. It's our business not to try to sell God. It's our business to be ready to have an answer for the hope that is in us in meekness and in fear. We'll see more about that, what he did when he was... the spirits in prison in a minute, but this is where I want to go. Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein a few that his eight souls were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism saves you with regard to a good conscience, because your testimony after baptism is always, I am dead. It is finished. For me to live is Christ. How can you can't have a conscience after that. Your conscience has been purged from all of the dead works and all the little value systems that you have, that you might stand naked and dependent before God every second. And believe me, the conscience is the voice of the Antichrist. It's not the voice of God. Because your conscience is trying to make you feel righteous. Got it?
When you said conscience, I just looked at it. It's a good conscience. God.
Which is an empty conscience.
Yeah, most conscience stuff is a bad conscience toward yourself.
All right, sometimes it's good if you're a sociopath, like some of us.
I wouldn't know about that.
Yeah. And you have the good conscience by the resurrection of Christ from the dead, but it's the resurrection of Christ from the dead in your dead body. This isn't something that happened 2,000 years ago. It happened at the moment of your baptism. That's certified that no longer are you concerned with the activity of the flesh. You're concerned with this new life. You're no longer concerned with activity. Your only concern is receptivity. Who you contain. And this boring crap that I see everybody go through, oh, what am I going to do about this? What am I going to do about that? Well, you're not going to do anything if you have any rights. You're going to accept your death and have the empty conscience toward God, because you are dead. And he is life. He doesn't need your help. In fact, if you try to help, he can't work because of his humility. Sit there and think about stuff. I love it when you think about God stuff. Oh, I'm just trying to find the right answer. I don't want to make any mistakes before I talk, because I want to make sure that I don't embarrass God.
I don't like that little voice you use. A little whiny voice.
Huh? That's the way John sounds when he talks like that.
I'm an heir.
What?
I don't like this seat.
I just got to think about it. Make sure I get it right before I say something. Because I don't want to embarrass the kingdom of God. Your life is an embarrassment to the kingdom of God. That's why through baptism, your burial, that you have a good conscience toward God. So now, by definition, the only thing you can do is abandon yourself. Take no thought of, about, or for yourself. Take no thought about what you're going to say next. All right. Is it okay to move on now, Bojo? Who has gone into heaven, is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. What an incredible story. What an incredible statement. He that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. If the suffering has done its purpose, then you have ceased from self-seeking. And self-seeking is the essence of sin. Remember, Jesus said, when he sends, he shall send the Holy Spirit, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. They're still trying to get it right. Of righteousness, because I've gone to the Father. There's no other righteousness. It's the end result. That's the final. And of judgment, because the prince of this world has been judged. There's no other judgment. And so anytime you try to gain your own righteousness or justify yourself, you're denying his going to the Father. Anytime you judge another person, you're saying the prince of the world hasn't been judged, and we're in some kind of... Got it? What? You.
I had a real great thought there. I don't know what
I'm saying. All right.
Some kind of conflict. That's what you meant when you went like this. Some of our radio viewers may not be able to.
Radio viewers. Little,
hand gestures. That's where you hold footnotes to go on. Audio.
Yeah, yeah. Like, what Mr. Anthony is saying here.
Color commentator.
So, now you're going to take over Kent's job?
Yeah, I'm just here in the corner. Observation.
That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. You never again give any debt or credence to what you think. The will of God is not expressed in how you think. The will of God is expressed only in your abandonment. Haven't you suffered enough to know that this is true by now? As you can probably tell, 1 Peter is my favorite book of the Bible.
This point never changes either.
No.
It's just amazing. It's always there. It's like that, behold, the sin offering light at the door. Any time you've gone into self, boom, you're out. And then you turn. And it's always this point.
Amen. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. I mean, and this is not talking about the bad stuff the Gentiles do. It's talking about all stuff the Gentiles do. When we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excesses of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Again, those aren't the bad things. It's the wine of Ephraim, the wine of self-seeking. It's all of the activity of the Gentiles. Now, you can't be done with it until you have been done with it. You know, that's why we teach the kids. Go push all barriers. Go do anything that's in your mind. Go to the ends of the world. Until you find out there's no there in every single arena of life. But do it quickly. Just like each one of us, from the beginning of our self-awareness, he's put millions of obstacles in our path, hoping that we would stop and say there is no hope. But we obstinately and determinedly forge on ahead, thinking that it's something righteous to do. It's the strength of our will. We're going to overcome. No, it's the strength of the will of the Antichrist that you're dealing with. The obstacles that he's put in your path were there so that you would stop and inquire of him. Anybody understand that? How many million times have you found the life of your own hand instead of stopping? You knew it was vain and empty, all the activities that were going on, you know, but you continued on anyway. Well, because I didn't know what else to do. Yes, you did. And wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. If they're not speaking evil of you, you're not confirming the testimony. You're just trying to get by. You're just trying to get along. Everybody understand perfectly? Anybody have any response? Anybody have an expansion on the tale?
You've been talking about the... Well, you know, it's like the guilt thing is we're puffed up in one way, and then you do this other deal where it's like you take the paper bag and turn it inside out and blow it up the other way and think that that's good.
It's like a puffer fish.
It's still puffed up.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, you say, well, it's different. You know?
Like, do you remember?
Puffed up good. Not bad.
The biggest form of pride is shyness. You're afraid what somebody might think of you. All right. Now we're going to get to the interesting part. Wow. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead, the living and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. What an incredible verse. In the commentaries, when you read some of the new translations, what it says, they got a parenthetical expression, and it says this: for this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, parentheses, while they were alive. Doesn't say that. That wouldn't make any sense if it said that. Think of it. God's majesty and God's justice isn't dependent on whether some idiot is going to give his version of the gospel to some lost tribe in New Guinea. Did anybody see 60 Minutes 2 last night? The Lost Boys?
Yeah, I seen
I sat there and cried for 20 minutes.
You know, I experienced that when I was at that meeting, God's permission, they brought them over, sponsors and stuff.
Let me tell you what it was, just real quick. In the Sudan, when they first had the first civil war, when the Muslims were destroying all the Christian villages and killing all the Christian men and women, as many as 12 and maybe as many as 20,000 young boys just began walking, and it was mysterious. Nobody knew. They had no plan. Everybody, they all came together. They all came from Christian families. And they walked for 12 years. They first walked to Kenya and they weren't accepted. They walked to Ethiopia, they weren't accepted. Then they came, tried to go back to the Sudan and they weren't accepted. For 12 years they walked barefoot. In one river crossing alone, 2,000 of them died by being killed by alligators. And tigers, but that was then the river crossing was the alligators. And the ones that couldn't swim, they tried to help each other. They were all like 11 and 12 years old and under. And at first, the oldest was 11, and they took care of themselves, each other as a family. Thousands of them. And finally, the United States heard about it, and they begin this process of flying. What was it, like a 90 a week or something like that?
90 or 99.
About 100 a week, say. And they've been flying them here to the United States. They'd never seen anything. Most of them spoke English, and some of them had Bibles. And they walked for 12 years. And then the preciousness of their faith has made me ashamed. Now they're bringing him here to America. And it's like, you know, even before they came here, they thought they were the luckiest people alive because God was with them. They had nothing. They ate mud in order to have something to put in their stomachs. Thousands were killed by the alligators. More thousands died of starvation. Yet they kept walking, walking, and walking, and walking. Across deserts and mountains. No shoes, no protection from the elements, no food, no water. Walking, walking, walking. Tell me about your problems. That's a good place to stop. God has wrought all our works in us. He's wrought all the works in every man, woman, and child that has ever been born on the face of the earth. He's always been Lord. Remember, we've said it. No man can say except by the Spirit of God that Jesus is Lord. People say it all the time. They don't know what it means. To say that He is Lord means that you understand the perfection of everything in life. You understand that everything, wherever you look, is perfect. Because He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Oh, but it's not happening the way I want it to. That's the purpose of life, for it not to happen the way you want it to. By definition, if you'll permit me, when something happens the way you do not want it to, That is what the scriptures call suffering. As I said last time we met, the purpose of life is for you to suffer until you cease from self-seeking. That's what's so evil about what's going on television, because they're enhancing self-seeking in the name of God.
Religion becomes a place to flee from the suffering.
Yeah.
When you said that, it's like you suffering until you cease from self-seeking, and then you suffer some more on behalf of somebody else.
Yeah, but then it doesn't matter. Then it's not suffering anymore.
Here, you see clearly.
You glory in tribulation. All right, anybody have any response? Joe, this is your first time here for a while. Any response?
Well, it's oddly enough, it's, you know, the other night when I saw the clip on Benny, and I panicked a little bit when I first saw it come on, because I knew that the girl that I was, the lady that I was staying with, she was an old friend of mine, she was a big Benny Hinn fan. And you know, this very thing that you talk about, I mean, is just part of her being. It's, and she denies it to the hilt, and there's no way to sensibly talk to her about it, but it's like, I couldn't avoid getting in this conversation. I tried. And, you know, I look at it from my own life and what God's put in as far as obstacles, and it's true. You know, it's this point I finally decided to give up.
Amen. You know, Pete's got over 200 emails from the web. And I've gotten a number. I don't know how they found my. I've looked for my email address. It is not published. Unless it.
Yeah, because everybody's insisting.
Yeah.
If they see the other emails,
you can change it.
I'm going to send all my emails to Carolyn.
This is on. He's just now saying them on in the microphone, which means now they're all out there.
See, first people try 666.
Wait, why don't we give everybody?
Any price that you guys found, they hit them
all. We didn't get them all in there. There's a few missing. Get them all in there.
John, shut up. Okay, anybody else?
For some reason, I was thinking the story, the Israelites were crossing the Jordan and the ark started to fall and the guy reached out to grab
it. Was not quite that.
It
was a different time, but anyway. When flesh touched the ark that wasn't sanctified, it died.
Yeah.
Even though they were trying to help the ark.
They were trying to help, that's the thing.
And I just thought about the response to that event, those that witnessed it.
Yeah.
And then our response to when we see things like that happen.
My heart's going to fall off.
You start thinking about it's not fair or. But it seems like when we disobey, we eliminate God's expression of mercy for whatever moment that's supposed to happen. We don't know what was supposed to happen.
Yeah, and we'll never know.
Yeah.
The whole idea, I mean, that's why this rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. Which witchcraft is pharmakia. It's just, which means, like, that's all drug use is witchcraft. But the real witchcraft is what you do in the quietness of your home, temple. All the little schemes and cunning devices and ideas and plans. That's the witchcraft that matters to God. That's why you must bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Because no thought can stand against it is finished. Amen.
Amen.
Take it, big guy.